Let's go.
Bingetown, how are we feeling today? It's your boy PD, aka Producer Dave, here with Luke and Kyle. Today we are covering Netflix's newest, one of their newest shows, Kaleidoscope. Kaleidoscope's a very interesting show that we're going to be covering today because it works a little differently than most shows than we've seen before in the past. So each episode individually, it can be watched on its own. So you don't need to watch in a certain order. You can start at, you know, green, yellow, red, however you want to do it. That was probably the main driver of this show for me. Like, this was a good show, just a solid show, nothing crazy. But because of the formatting and how you can watch each episode, I think that makes it a little bit more, maybe not elite in my mind, but it definitely boosts its potential up a little bit more and definitely increases its rewatch value for sure. Because as you'll find out in this recording, each one of us, I think we watched them in different orders. So we'll have our own mindsets on certain characters, certain scenes that, you know, one of us may have had knowledge on, whereas one of us didn't have knowledge on when watching for the first time. So honestly, overall, just a pretty solid show. I'll hand it over to Luke to give more about the details and the structures of how we're going to do this episode, all these episodes.
So yeah, like you said, this is a very, very unique show that's kind of in its own lane. So we're going to treat this podcast a little different than our normal reviews and recaps, where we're going to have to talk about it holistically off the bat because of like what we're saying, like the ordering of the events, we receive them in different ways. So I think we're just going to talk about everything as if you've watched the whole series front to back. We'll give our orders and like how they differed and talk about that impact on our watch through. How I envision this going in my head is basically we're going to talk through all of the main characters, how we felt about them, how we got introduced to them, things along those lines, and talk about their position in the heist crew. And then, you know, we're just going to kind of play it by ear, work through the different characters. And then as soon as we're done with all that, which I assume is going to take up the majority of this conversation, we will quickly go through the episodes and just anybody can bring up little fun plot points, things you noticed, things that you wish you watched earlier or later relative to other things. So I think it's going to be holistic by the end, but bear with us as we kind of wing this a little bit. Before we give our orders, I guess since you just gave your initial thoughts on the show as a whole, Dave, me and Kyle will go with that, and then we can start working through the different characters. So for me, I watched this show pretty quickly. I would say within a week of it coming out, just like most people. And my ordering is completely different, I think, than Dave and Kyle's, especially Kyle's. I really enjoyed all of the setup. And I think I'm going to be the minority opinion in here when I'm saying that I didn't really necessarily love the back half of it. But because the show was so entertaining and so unique in this method that the writers created it, it was such an entertaining blast that it's one of the rare shows where I wouldn't say that I loved, but I would still recommend to almost anybody to watch it because it is an experience. It's almost like that Black Mirror special that Netflix came out with a couple of years ago with Choose Your Own Adventure. Just something that you should experience through the medium because it's so, I don't want to say groundbreaking, but I hope it does open the door for different projects along this line. So I definitely loved the show. A couple of characters I fucking loved. A lot of the characters I did not love by the end. And that's where a lot of my gripes are going to come in. And we'll work through that as we talk through characters. But pass it over to Kyle, what your thoughts are, because I think you're going to be the most positive of us three. But you tell me.
Yeah, it's interesting if I end up being the most positive because, spoiler alert for my order, I did it fully chronological. So I actually broke the rules. We decided that someone should watch it chronological just for our discussion to almost have like a control person, I guess you could say, like a placebo. So I fell on the proverbial sword there. No complaints really from me doing it that way. I really enjoyed it. I love heist things. And then you throw in Giancarlo Esposito, and it's kind of money in the bank no matter what there. So I really enjoyed it. I would agree, completely with I soured on almost the majority of the characters by the end of the actual story, which was interesting. I didn't expect that to happen, but I guess you could argue that it's probably more realistic that way. They're all fucking criminals at the end of the day, yada, 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 whatever. I had a great time watching the show. I thought it was a nice ride. There was a lot of anxiety-inducing moments, which is fun with the heist stuff, the tension. They really knew how to kind of push the right buttons at certain times. So for me, like Luke said, again, definitely would recommend almost anyone watch this just for the experience of watching it.
For sure. And you said it there, like it was a great ride, regardless of how I felt about it walking away from it. I'm still sitting here telling anybody to watch it. It's worth it. The acting Netflix's blank check that they pay for these kind of things, the cinematography, all of that was as good as you can possibly expect. Meaning like the floor for the show was already very high. Yeah. It's just the little pieces of it you could tell needed a better ending for me, and it needed some, maybe it was suffering a tiny bit by this structure that the writers made, where they had to keep everything encapsulated within an episode for a specific character in order to avoid spoilers and other ways where it makes sense to watch in any order. And maybe that is the reason that I'm walking away not loving it, but at the same time, it's the reason I'm sitting here telling you to watch it. So it's a give or take, and we'll see how it plays out and if any other projects like this come out of it. Now's the time I'm going to lay out the colored episode titles and give the time periods, and I'm sure we're going to be reiterating it as we're saying it throughout this episode, and then we'll go through each of our orderings, and then we'll start the character talk. So in chronological order, aka Kyle's order that he watched it, we have violet, green, yellow, orange, blue, red, pink, white. So what that works out to be is
that's actually not chronological.
White's in the middle.
Yeah, it's white, red, then
pink.
You're right.
Sorry. Yeah.
But everything else was good, I think.
Yeah, so it's violet being 24 years before, green being 7 years before, yellow 6 weeks before, orange 3 weeks before, blue 5 days before, white, the actual heist, then it's red the mornings after, and then pink is going to be 6 months later. So Kyle already said like he watched it chronologically. For me, how I ended up watching it, I kind of went through just how Netflix had it set up for me, with the exception of One Piece, and I'll get to that in a second. But I ended up watching it in the order of yellow, green, orange, blue, violet, red, pink, white. So what that is I watched the original setup of the modern day, I'll say in quotes, heist storyline being yellow. Then I went backwards in the past 7 years ago to green, jumping back to the present time of orange and blue. And then I finally watched the 24 years ago setup of this whole entire series of events until the last sprint of the final three of red, pink, white, which is just like the heist and then everything after. So for me, the most important takeaway was I never got that violet backstory about Roger Salas and Leo/Ray's their connection. I knew nothing about this. I didn't know how to feel about Roger Salas this whole time because I had no information about what he did to our boy. And that's like my most important takeaway of this show and how it probably differs from everybody else. I don't know how early Dave watched Violet, but yeah, that was like my biggest thing where I feel like it totally affected my viewing experience, and almost in a positive way. I'll leave that to the character talk when we get to it, but that was my initial gut reaction of how Kaleidoscope's ordering affected my viewing.
For me, I had watched it in yellow, blue, orange, then green.
Damn.
And I believe violet, pink, and then white. So a little bit different than Luke. I watched like Luke in the order that Netflix had suggested it for me, with the exception being that green was actually suggested to be the first episode for me to watch. And I didn't watch it right away because I was the latest one to watch the show out of us three. And both Kyle and Luke were at the time in pretty strong agreement that green, maybe it wasn't Kyle, but there were definitely people around us who were saying that green is definitely up and away so far at where they were watching the best episode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to watch the best episode first. Like that just seems so wrong for it to just be the best and then drop and then come back up potentially. So I kind of squeezed green right at the midway point just to kind of give myself a little bit more excitement. I honestly really enjoyed it the way that I watched it. It felt like there was still just more reveals. I mean, I'm sure that's how all of us felt because you could watch it in any order, but I liked kind of going almost chronologically, I guess, because I like the fact that you could jump from the past to the future, like, because you know, you get those hints that like obviously the heist went so wrong and you're like watching the buildup of everything and you're like, how could this possibly go so wrong? They've planned out every possible detail. And then when you get to the heist at the very end, it's just like, oh my God, like, I can't believe like all these events are happening right now. And I will probably go back and rewatch this, maybe not anytime soon, but if I'm going to rewatch it, which I will, it will be chronological just because mm-hmm. I feel like that's probably the best way to do it, is to not watch chronologically so you can eventually watch chronologically. Because if you watch chronologically and then try and just randomize the episodes, I feel
messes
like
with it, yeah.
That kind of, you lose some value there. So that's just my two cents on it, but still solid show, definitely.
My chronological take will be that I think it had, looking back on all of it, I think it had a more of a negative impact in the beginning of the show. And while I obviously cannot possibly speak to what the ending was like for you guys, I am perfectly fine with watching it, the heist, then the immediate aftermath of the heist, and then Pink being the 6 months after and that full ending. I don't know why it feels like if I had known going into White that they all, like, that a large majority of them end up dying, and like with Judy and Stan doesn't work, it just feel like the why the fuck does the heist really even matter at that point?
I was kind of thinking the same thing too. Even when we were about to record this podcast, they should have came out and been like, you know, Pink should be definitely the last episode. Like, I feel like you should, at the end of the day, watch Pink.
Like Red and then White and then Pink.
Yeah, at least like you can even do White before Red, doesn't matter. But I just think Pink still, I think you're right on that sense that watching Pink last might have provided a little bit more, I don't know what the word I'm trying to think of is, but I feel like I would have been more attached maybe to the story a little bit. But
yeah,
I think that I agree with you though, Kyle. Like, I totally wish I watched Pink after. Like, I'll talk about the endings of all the characters when we're getting to them. But yeah, like, I was pretty checked out. I don't think the reveal at the end of White about it was a cool reveal, flashing back to the Violet episode with the Violet necklace. Like, all of that was awesome, but it wasn't worth the idea of giving up, like, of basically being unattached to some of these characters who I know are dead and fucking in the next episode. So it's a little bit, it's weirder, but I definitely enjoyed the beginning more than I feel, you know. So it was. Sure. I don't know what's the best way to. I think I would have preferred watching it in chronological just for the sake of having it not be anticlimactic for White. But again, I'm just sitting here saying this with hindsight. Like, who the hell knows?
Yeah, I think for me, the perspective is that when I'm watching White, like, I have no fucking idea who's going to make it out, who has any lingering injuries, like, what is actually going on. But like, you guys having watched Red, I mean, granted, the whole Bob thing is a bit of a diversion, but you know that it's a diversion or it's fake before you even watch White, because Pink tells you that.
Yeah.
You know, so like if I had watched like watching Red before White, it's like, oh my God, Bob's dead. What the fuck happens to Bob? RJ's, where the hell's RJ? And then you watch White and it's like, oh my God, okay, that's, and then the ending is Bob opens his eyes and it's like, oh fuck, okay. But if I had like known that they are kind of still involved and like what they do after the heist, it definitely, I feel like it took away the impact of it. Like, I'm watching White, like, I have no fucking clue what could possibly happen to anyone, because I have no information that's in the future.
Yeah. Luke watched White with me for my, so it was his second time watching White, my first time watching it, and completely agree. Cause the first thing I questioned was like, I was a big, for no reason at all, I was a huge RJ fan.
He's a nice and guy.
So obviously when I'm watching Pink and Red and they're just like, where's RJ? And everyone's like, I don't know. But then you look, I think it's I keep saying Gus Fring, but it's Ray. Ray looks at Judy and is like, oh, where's RJ? And she's just like, she doesn't actually give a response. And so me, just immediately at that point, I'm just like, okay, he's got to be dead. And like, it confirms it in Pink, because he's just not there at all. It's been weeks after and no one even mentions his name anymore. And so when I'm watching White and I'm watching him die, I'm, granted, how it happened was a little crazy, but it did, like you said, it took away from it, because I knew he was going to die. I knew that Bob, I thought Bob was going to get shot in the throat, which I guess that was kind of, I guess, a cool aspect of it, is like trying to guess how Bob lost his voice. Cause I was like, I saw the scar. I was like, he must've been shot or something, but it was cool seeing the crowbar and everything. But you're absolutely right. Like, I would just say, if you're a first time watcher and you're listening to our podcast, just do Pink last, probably.
Well, you should not be.
Well, you should not be listening, but yeah, we haven't spoiled anything. I guess we have. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying when I mean, like, the ending was better for me, I think, doing chronologically, but the beginning was, to Luke's point, like, you have no idea who Roger Salas is. You have no idea what Ray's backstory is. That would have been fun to watch after, like, seeing him in prison, interacting with Stan, like, planning the heist, being anti-Roger. Like, he sends the note to Hannah, I think, in what, man? That's like Yellow, I think. Or maybe it's whatever. Either way, when he's like, he's not who you think he is and all this shit. And like, I can't imagine watching that, having no idea who Roger Salas / Grant is.
When we're talking about White, which the writers intended completely to be the climax of this story, I think, like, you probably had a way better time watching it just how you're talking about it right now. Because for us, me and Dave, there were only four things that mattered, at least to me. And determined based on how important they are, like, this is how you can decide how hype you would have been. Like, we needed to find out what happened with Bob, and you covered that well, Dave. I thought he was shot too. Like, it would look like a hole. Makes sense. It was the pen. So that, but whatever. We already knew his ending. It didn't really matter how he got hurt. RJ, who, spoiler, I don't give a fuck about at all. And then the thing that I did care about was confirming Ava wasn't a rat. Like, we needed to find out that piece of it, and then where the bonds were, which is a huge part. Like, that's probably the driving force. And then the last thing is just what's in the vault. So between all that stuff, I don't think it's worth all of this contextual build up to find out, like, to make it like pop with these answers, to give up knowing the actual ending fate of Ray getting shot, of Bob getting shot, of Judy questioning what she's going to do with Stan. Like, all of that, to me, as soon as I watched that, I was like, oh God, I don't really care about White at all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my ending is literally Ray fade to pink getting shot. And that felt like, okay, it's story's over. You know what I mean? Especially because, like, what you're saying with one of the burning questions is what happened to the bonds. But they even, like, a theme throughout the whole thing is that it's not about the money. Like, it's never been about the money.
For Ray.
So, like, yeah, but I, like, it's just funny that that is what was, like, driving a lot of, like, why they wanted the heist to be last.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the isolated reveals, so yeah.
Yeah, and it just seems like they were also telling us the whole time, like, he doesn't care about the money.
Before we even got into the episode, I was like, all right, I'm just going to lay out everything that I think is going to happen, and I'm pretty sure, like, 99 of what I had said had come, like, I could just predict based off the endings that I had seen. And, like, I came in, I was like, all right, I know RJ's going to die. I think what was
Bob's going to get shot.
Bob's going to get shot. And there was one
the
other.
Rat.
Oh, the rat. I was trying to guess who the rat was. And I was like, at first, okay, I thought maybe Bob, because that's the easy target. Maybe it's RJ because we haven't seen him. But I'm just also at that point kind of just assumed he was dead. There was just no way he was the one that took all the bonds. And then I came up on Hannah. I was like, okay, the only logical option at that point is Hannah. Mm-hmm. And so that, going into it, I kind of had my mind stuck on it's going to be Hannah. And so it made it less important to me when you see her behind the elevator door. It's like,
yeah,
kind of predictable at this point. So yeah,
that's probably the only thing that fell a little flat watching White in the chronological order, so before Red and Pink, is that, but even then it was still like, oh shit, okay, that just happened, like, she just pulled that over on them. And then and then it was like, okay, what the hell are they gonna do next? It was fun to, like, it be completely open-ended, like, okay, there's no bonds. Where do we go from here? What actually happens?
And I guess while we're on the subject, maybe I'm an idiot, but can someone explain to me what her reasoning was for doing what she did? Because she, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't pocket any of that money, just gave it back.
She took some.
Okay. That makes sense. That's fine. What was the purpose of it? So I know originally she was telling, like, her dad, she was like, look, you saw me as a partner. I didn't want to be a partner. I wanted to be a daughter, but, like, I couldn't even get that. Like, the speech was weird, and her motives didn't really make sense to me.
I took from it was that she basically knew that her dad was getting too deep with some of the wrong people. Like, this was going to be, like, as top of a threat as he's ever faced in his life with the triplets.
Yeah, the triplets. Yeah.
So what she did was she made a deal with the triplets saying, hey, let me steal your bonds. And you can basically make it an insurance claim on it, and you'll make money on the lost bonds because you'll put this out there. You'll actually make more money on this.
Right. And richer.
Yeah. And in exchange for that, the triplets wouldn't kill her or her dad. Okay. Ray.
I couldn't tell if, obviously, by the end, after they did, like, the strong mind or whatever, like, whatever it was, be brave here, strong in the heart, whatever it was.
Yeah. Show me
before that
brave.
Though. Yeah. I was just like, is she mad at him? I can't really tell, because she's kind of like telling him to fuck off. But at the same time, she's like, I always just wanted you to be there, kind of thing. And
she's mad at him, I think, because he breaks out of prison, fakes his own death. And you think, okay, clean slate to live your life. Maybe now he can be in his daughter's life. And he chooses revenge and going back to a life of crime, essentially over her.
I'm going to shut down your big project to be like, fuck you. Like, you shouldn't have been doing this in the first place.
Yeah. And she's not like mad at him in the sense that, like, she never wants to see him again. I mean, we see in Pink when he she's writing him letters, she's trying to contact him and he's not answering. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely that. And then you see in Pink when she's like, we see Hannah at the end in her Oceanside villa, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Right.
There are, like, she has, I think, one or multiple FedEx boxes that are, like, on the table
with the bonds
behind
in
her,
them.
Yeah. Which you would assume. Yeah. I'm assuming she took some cut for herself.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do all of that to do for legitimately nothing. I mean, for daddy's love, like, sure,
she
you
protected
can,
the dad, though, so that was important.
Yeah, she protected the dad. Him, she showed the triplets also, as well, that she could do what they wanted, because Graham/Roger was a little on the fence about doing it. But she pretty much told them, before they even asked Roger, like, hey, I can do this for you. And then they saw him kind of balk away from it. And I'm sure they were like, all right, well, she's the girl for it then.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I love how she roped her fucking roommate into it, too.
Well, no, you know, that's not a roommate. That's her sister. It's her.
Oh, that's so true. Well, yeah. I guess sister slash roommate.
I didn't even I honestly didn't even process that. I'm looking at them as lovers the entire time. I swear to God, I thought
they
were lovers.
She gets pregnant. She gets knocked up.
Yeah, and that's why it was confusing for me. I was like, okay, maybe there's like a surrogate. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I think because she didn't have Ray or Lily the bomb around, she was jumping between. She had to get adopted, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's her sister, Liz.
Interesting.
Because her name is Hannah Kim. Okay, so let's talk through the characters. We already are kind of talking about Hannah and Ray, but let's make it more official here as we go through them. I have everyone listed out that's worth bringing up. And then, like I said, we'll go through some of those episodes and pick out and clean up any things that we didn't do yet.
So I can honestly start here just to speak about Ray. I think it'll be interesting almost to like talk about our introductions to the characters.
Sure.
First, so me, I mean, I get introduced to Ray, 1980s Ray, I guess, of them running the trick on the rich guy, the rich dumb guy.
The young guy, and, dude. I love
that. It was just funny, yeah, because he's young and I was like, oh my God, okay, they were doing this. And I thought it was a great introduction. It was really fun to see him like, they're just kind of like low-level scammers a little bit, and then we find out, you know, he's got a daughter and all this stuff, and it was fun, and he's very likable. He comes across very, very likable and violent, and I was just like, okay, like, he's going to be the man, and then you move to Green, and it's like, okay, he's been in prison, and he busts out, and he's like, oh my God, he's a beast, and then you get farther, and he gets deeper in the heist, and you're like, okay, he's kind of a scumbag in some ways, and he was a great main character, though. It was fun to follow his story.
For me, like with the Yellow episode, honestly, I felt like Yellow was honestly a really good episode for me to start with, just because, sure, we don't get like the deep, deep backstory of like the origin story of why Ray is like just an emotionally unavailable person. But for Yellow, we just get introduced to the team and it's Ray going out and recruiting everyone. And that it was a great introduction for Ray, because, you know, Giancarlo Esposito is going to kill it regardless of what it is. And I think he just does such an amazing job just leading this just ragtag group of individuals, how it always is in heist. You know, you got just so many different personalities and you know that's going to cause some issues. But Ray himself was just a great leader. And even though they're all criminals, like, he is just a trustworthy guy. He just makes me feel like I can trust him no matter what. Like, he's just so confident in his abilities, like, even when he's questioning whether he should go back, like, he just knows he's the best at what he does. And I just love that confidence. And of course, I think for me, the downfall for him was during the actual heist, which, I mean, it makes sense because that's when the emotions for him are really coming into play. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about the money at that point. Like, when they're all drowning and the water's coming in, he's like, oh, let's just do one more. And they're like, no, we should leave. And he's like, nah, one more. And it's like, you're going to put all this at risk for your revenge. Like, I get that. So there were some dips for sure, but Giancarlo Esposito, just, he gets his flowers here for me. Definitely.
That's when Bob walks up the stairs. You old greedy cunts.
Yeah.
Do it yourself.
Yeah, that was so great.
So for Ray, for me, I could just tell, like, this show was written with his character in mind, and it's so obvious that he is the main character. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I expect from this actor absolute highest of the high performances and didn't disappoint at all. For me, Ray was easily the most complete front to back character, and like, his motivation made sense to me. His ending made a lot of sense to me. The beginning made a lot of sense to me. All of that was really, really good. I almost have nothing negative to say about Ray, except that I didn't love how unwilling he was to be more calculated and professional as a heist squad when they fucked up the diamond steal. Because right away, I'm thinking, okay, Bob does that one thing, you're done. Like, that's it. You don't risk having a wild card like him on the heist. And I didn't like how it was barely even addressed by him. Like, that was such a fuck up, and it almost got them all caught. They literally got the bullet casings with, like, Ava, because he shot or whatever, got the bullet casings with Ava's fingerprint on it. All that happened, and I was just thinking the whole time, damn, like, Ray is too good of a mastermind to not really shut that shit down and not let him be involved in the triplet heist. Can't really, I mean, that's just like my only complaint about him.
There's one, again, to play, I guess, a little bit of devil's advocate of that, kind of his theme on him is that he's so focused on the revenge that at times it causes him, like Dave had said, when he's at the heist and he lingers back and it's like, why are you fucking doing this? It's kind of, I guess, leans into that. But I agree. I mean, Bob was just an absolute menace the entire time. He just was, Ray pretty much let Stan's dick picked Judy, which then picked Bob, which then fucked everything up down the line. Yeah, which, I mean, you're loyal to your boy, and I respect that, because Stan's the fucking man in a lot of ways. But that was, yeah, not the brightest decision.
All right, let's move to this Bob talk, because I know Luke is...
Well, hold on. I just want to mention, because we didn't talk about it at all, is like that Ray having Parkinson's did humanize him, and it put a time limit on everything, which was a really cool aspect of his character. I was a little weirded out, though, that like it didn't seem like it got that much worse from 7 years ago, but then it just started escalating a lot. Like when you go to the Green episode, that was the 7 year flashback. He seemed like he had it like pretty bad there, worse than almost he had it in Yellow and stuff. But then you hit Pink and he's like totally just destroyed by it, which makes sense. But that was just a cool little part of his personality. Not cool, but you know what I mean? Like it just made it more fleshed out and explained a lot more.
And that also probably was more of a reason that he was letting revenge get to him, because he himself was probably viewing it as, I only have maybe, you know, in his mind, it was, what did the doctor tell him at the time? It was like 7 to 10 years. And then when we get to the heist, we're already years into that timeline. And I mean, that does add some character depth to him. And I still, overall, I think Ray still falls into probably some of my favorite, probably the top three of my favorite characters still.
And we'll talk about our top three at the end, which probably will end up being very similar. But when I was on the wiki earlier, just getting basic outline notes for this, it kind of says each of the characters' role in the heist. And I just want to give you guys a chance to guess for each of the characters. Like, what do you think it listed Ray, Vernon, / Leo Papp as?
That's a great question. Yeah, maybe like logistics.
Is a mastermind. Yeah, so that works. But then I'll keep bringing that up as we're going through the next characters. But okay, you mentioned Bob. You want to talk about Bob next?
Yeah.
First, before we talk about him, guess what his title is listed.
The break-in guy. What is a term?
Safecracker.
Yes, okay, safecracker. Okay. Literally.
Okay, and that is actually a great transition into my complaints with Bob, because the reason they forced Bob into this, that they kept forcing themselves to accept Bob as one of the crew members, is because he was known to be this expert safe cracker. And literally fucking Stan and Ray do his job on the fifth vault that they try and break it. You know what I mean? Like when they're in the heist, they get the four small safes first and they're like, oh, let's get one more. And they all agree. Yes. And so Bob leaves. And so Stan or Ray, who has never practiced like Stan had on cracking safes. I'm sure he does have some experience.
Violet. He is the safe cracker in him and Graham's whole thing. Like he does all of that work.
Yeah, he's familiar with those skill sets.
Well, he has Parkinson's now. That's why he can't do it on this job. They can't risk Parkinson's, him having an episode in the middle of the heist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. But that was probably just my biggest complaint with Bob, is like at the end of the day, it didn't seem like he was fully necessary, and he was the reason everything went so sad.
You're saying necessary on the heist, not like necessary as a character. Like
yes, in the heist. He was definitely necessary as a character, but in the heist itself, like Stan and Ray had already proved that they didn't need Bob for the heist.
Mm-hmm. He brings way more negatives than positives. Like in the universe for the team, he is a net negative, I feel like, for sure. Unless you want to count Judy. Like, I guess they are in the universe. They're counting Judy as part of his positives, but that's like kind of bullshit. He's great for the show. I love him. Jai Courtney is an amazing actor.
Shout out Spartacus, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Was he in Spartacus?
Oh, he's like one of the main guys.
That's
too.
Awesome.
Yeah. Such a different role, too. He's like the nicest dude ever in Spartacus, like fan favorite, like
blonde,
great
curly
guy.
Hair. Yeah.
Amazingly loyal friend, like just all of the above. And then in this, he's just an absolute psycho.
Yeah.
I finished White, I think it was 2 days ago, and I went to the gym yesterday, and there was this dude who looked exactly like Bob, but except he was like 5'5". I was like, I want to fucking kill this guy just for looking like Bob. But
it's actually a compliment.
I guess he was one of those characters for me that, you know, you just love to hate, because I hated Bob. Like I just, his mannerisms, how shittily he treated everyone, especially my boy RJ. And that line was a little cheesy too. Like everyone's got, you got to be nicer to people. That was cheesy. But Bob at the end of the day was necessary, because we needed that personality in the group to
The wild card.
We needed that wild card ambiguity. Like, is he going to fuck things up, or is he going to follow the rules? Is he going to play well with others, or is he not? Of course he's not, but we did need a character like Bob in this show. And I think I actually liked him, as fucked up as it is, after the heist than I did beforehand. Not just because he was quieter, obviously, but just
Terminator Bob.
Yeah, just Terminator Bob, like it was a man on a mission, just had his revenge. And because Luke brought it up too, when Judy is the one choking him out in the, at the end of the heist, he probably doesn't know it's her.
And yeah, he doesn't.
He doesn't, because he's obviously writing her love letters. And I thought that was actually a really good twist, because immediately, like, I thought, like, oh, he's got to know it's her, but obviously he doesn't. So I thought his drive in the second half was a lot better than him just being a side piece in the first half, you know?
That's one of my few notes I took. I put like three or four bullet point talking points for each of these characters to bring up and talk about. And that is 100% one of mine, is what would this story have looked like if he knew that it was Judy versus him thinking that it was Stan and building his whole pink story around like revenge. Like, I have no idea how it would have worked out. Maybe even better. I don't even know. Like, I can't even think about like how it would go, but
no, it would have robbed us of the great, like, him with the hired hitmen, let's listen to the podcast in the car. Like, that was a good part of the overall show. I was shocked at how much I loved that.
When the one goon who dies first, he like starts like talking about Bob when he's asleep and he wakes up, he just smashes his face like 30 times. I was like, bro, you just give him a little slap. Like, you didn't have to freaking break his whole face.
My mindset too was like, if anything, he should have been bashing the other guy's face, because that guy was defending him where the other guy was like laughing at him. It's just, it's funny that like the meat, like the muscle and like the anger guy was like the comedic relief of the show, to be honest. Like, he was probably the funniest character on here.
I would say Bob is.
No, that's what I'm saying. Bob is.
You're talking about the guy. They were kind of funny too.
Bob himself was the funniest character. I just think that's just funny that you have the darkest character at the same time be the funniest.
For me, Bob's journey was like, in the beginning he was funny, where it's like, okay, he's just like kind of like not a lovable asshole, but like a necessary asshole, and he has great lines, and obviously the fucking Australian accent's great and shit. And then when he shows up on Ava's doorstep and Abbasi is like taking the pictures, that's when I was like, all right, like fuck this guy, like he's actually like being such an idiot and a fucking problem, and he's the worst now. And that was, I was like, okay, I don't even like him anymore.
Yeah.
And then Pink and Red, it's like, okay, I like the storyline for him. It's fun to watch him on this.
It's funny because I feel like I had the same path of like how I felt about Bob, with the exception, and I'm sure this is way different for you, Kyle, than it is for me and Dave, because we had Bob information way before Violet and Green. You had no idea that Bob was going to end up with Judy while Stan was like escaping prison and stuff after that huge time skip. While we were going back and seeing this introduction of Bob being Judy's, like, I don't know, smuggler assistant there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, like Stan has no idea that what they're actually doing on the side. And like, that was like an interesting experience, because Stan didn't hate Bob at the time yet for the right reasons, like besides him just being a dickhead. That was like a cool experience going backwards and seeing the start of Judy and Bob's relationship when she cut Stan off for him.
The last thing I'll say about Bob, though, is he without a doubt has one of the most savage moments I've ever seen in like television history, with what we were talking about earlier with the pen through the throat, because, oh my God, that was painful to fucking watch, because he lines it up and he's just like, all right, he's like lining it up. He's like, I got to do this. I got to do this. And he just fucking smacks it right into his throat. I was like, that is fucking ridiculous. That is talk about will to live. We were talking about Alice in Borderland, will to live. And I was like, Bob definitely has the fucking will.
He would fucking be alive. Bob.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, even I actually thought you were going to say, just because I watched it last and the most recently, when he just takes the cleaver in the chest.
Oh my God. And just he gets shot in the ass, laughs.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. He takes the cleaver in the chest, and I thought for sure he was going to kill her mom or her aunt or whatever right there, or her old maid, rather. I'm sorry. Right there. I thought she was dead, and he showed some restraint. And I was like, okay, maybe he's turning the corner because of these podcasts. He literally just drives down to South Carolina on just like a ton of cocaine and just has a cleaver hole in his chest. And he's like, he gets out of the car and he's so bloody. When he's just like sniffing around the bar, like looking like a literal zombie criminal, I was like, he is such a fucking idiot. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm with you.
Call the cop, like anyone in their right mind.
It's 10 a.m. He's wandering up to this bar, clearly packing multiple weapons on him, and just arm in a sling, covered in blood.
He was wild. I honestly, at the end, now that we're kind of talking about it more, like, he was just a character I just loved to hate.
Yeah. And he, along with Rey, I think had the best ending. Like, it just made total sense in the direction that the show was going. They both deserved to kind of die. And it worked in the way that they did, where it kind of gave the FBI agent something to do in the very, very end. Like, they can say they accomplished something in this whole heist investigation. And then obviously Rey's was deserved in its own way, which we didn't even really talk about who killed Rey. I guess we could do that when we get to White at the end. So moving on, after Bob, let's move over to Hannah, because we did cover a lot of her stuff. So Hannah Kim, aka Rey's daughter, who has the sister Liz, that's part of her storyline. So in terms of her, our first introduction was Yellow, and that is the opening scene, is her doing the fake heist under Solace's order to prove that the security, like, they knew their security stuff. And that was one of my favorite scenes of the entire show, was her fake heist, flirting with the girl to get the password and do the camera thing. Like, that was just genius. Such a good start for the show. And this is definitely one of the silver linings of letting the randomness happen and starting with this just 6 weeks before the heist, right? Like, she was amazing. But to be honest, after episode Yellow, it was just every single other episode, I started to root less and less for her, till we got to the end where she basically was just meant to be an obstacle for Rey and like the moral thing. But yeah, I didn't end up walking away from the show loving Hannah. I thought she had a great intro, but yeah, I just felt like she was just an obstacle.
Absolutely the same way with starting with Yellow, which again, I will reiterate, I think that was a great start for me, because you just get enough backstory in each character. And Hannah's introduction was just really totally badass with the whole fake abduction and everything. Mm-hmm. But you're right, because, and I think the issue with that is because you're not really, I guess, meant to know her position, or like that she's the son of Rey for a while. And so she's just the head of security. Like, that's all she really is. Like, Roger will just call her. She'll make an appearance here and there. And it's like, there's no attachment here. Like, what she did in the very first episode, at least for me, what was the very first episode, was really badass. And then you just get a bunch of follow-up scenes of her just doing her job. Mm-hmm. And then when you find out, like, when we get past the heist, that's when the switch flips, because that's, we've already resolved all the conflict and she's trying to move on to what she wanted her life to be originally. So that second half gives her more depth than in what it was at the beginning, for sure.
Still didn't like it.
I really liked Hannah, I guess, because I, you know, met her as a young child, and then her life gets flipped upside down, and yeah, and all this stuff, and I got all of it in order. So I really liked her. It was fun to watch her grow up and become a badass. And I think she's the most sympathetic character. I feel like, you know, her mom fucking died. Her dad went to prison, like, refused to ever let her visit. Then he pops up into her life. She finds out that this guy who mentored her was actually doing it for, like, all of the wrong reasons. Not all of the wrong reasons, but he's not who he says it is, and all this stuff. And she gets pregnant and all this stuff. And I was happy to see that she had a happy ending. That might have been probably my favorite, not my favorite part, but one of my favorite parts of the ending is the way that she kind of got out clean on the other side, and, like, everything was okay for her. I love her actress.
I was fully expecting a twist of her being pregnant from Roger Salas. Like, that would have added crazy. So much more clusterfuck to, like, Rey, because he would have been like, okay, that's my grandchild, but it's also the grandchild of the person I hate most in this world. Like, I think that
child.
Yeah. Like, but I thought for sure that Roger Salas had knocked her up, because they never really talk about the father. So I'm, like, making all these assumptions in my head. Like, who is it?
Until we, like, talked about it a little bit last night, I was under the impression that it was Salas. Like, I think they did a bad job of showing that wasn't what it was. Like, because they have a couple of scenes where, like, Rey saying, he took everything from me, like, he doesn't get her. And then the pregnancy thing reveal happens later that episode. So I don't know. I just didn't love that.
I'm kind of thinking about it now. Did she even need to be pregnant? Like, what were there any, like, downsides, or, like, did it impact her at all?
It was more emotional for Rey at the end.
Yeah, I think to have a grandkid.
It's a lot about their relationship. Because, I mean, like, when they first meet back up, not when they first meet back up, but they have that scene, the first scene on the pier, where, like, you kind of find out that she's the one on the inside and she reports the stuff back to him. Mm-hmm. And then he's, like, telling her all about the heist or whatever. And he goes, like, is anything, like, up with you? And this is after she knows she's pregnant and she doesn't tell him. And that's kind of symbolic of where their relationship is at that point.
Okay.
Because she doesn't feel like she can kind of say that to him. And he's so still focused on this revenge thing. He's not seeing, like, the fact that he's reunited with his daughter and she is, literally pregnant and that's fun. But Roger Salas notices literally immediately because he's like, you switched to decaf. Mm-hmm. Like he knows that was, right
that
away.
That was cool observation skills on Roger Salas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, that was sure. cool. He was, I mean, low key. I mean, we'll talk about him. He was a beast, but he's
let's go right into him then. Yeah, he's the villain of the story. Anything else about Hannah? I feel like we covered a lot earlier.
The only thing I'll love her. I only have one complaint with Yellow, and it was being that Hannah, we knew so early on that Hannah, at least from my time watching it, that Hannah was going to be the inside person. That because if they didn't include that scene, I feel like I would have been way less likely to pick Hannah as the like the rat at the very end. But because in the very first episode, I see that her and Ray have that connection, and he's like, we're going to do this together. The whole time I know she's going to turn on Roger. I didn't know she would necessarily turn on Ray too, but it just kept lingering in the back of my mind.
I legitimately thought that she was going to be on Roger's team, like throughout watching Yellow until the actual reveal. I thought for sure, like I even wrote a note that it's like, oh my God, she's like, she's going to be so loyal to him after whatever. Actually, I forget the actual event that makes me do that. But like they're playing into, for me watching chronologically, that, yeah, like she fucking hates her dad because he's a dick bag and all this shit. And I was like, fuck. OK. And then it was, oh, shit, she's one on the inside. And I was on it and I was cool.
OK, so let's go into Roger Salas, who we just talked about. I just wrote him. He's kind of like the main rival, right? Like he's the enemy of the show in a way. And based on what you just said, Kyle, like a minute ago about him, I didn't think we were going to have the same opinion about him as a character, but I ended up loving Salas. Like he's by great. The end, thought it was rooted in the idea that I didn't know Violet's information about what he did to Ray until much later. So it was always just, okay, this guy's like a sketchy businessman. I don't really know what he did yet. I was just like, he's charismatic, he's smart, like he's confident.
He's got the riz.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like rich as fuck. Like all of this stuff. Like I was just like, this guy's like super interesting. And then when you do get the Violet reveal, like, okay, you could pick a side, like you can say you absolutely hate him for not even attempting to save Lily and all that stuff, which is totally fair, and I kind of agree. But by the end, like even the conversation he has with Ray in the prison cell is like one of the best conversations of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even feel like I didn't feel walking away that he's like still a villain, even after being confronted, like all of that. I was just like, damn, this guy was like a good character that was entertaining to watch, equally heist minded as Ray. So it was like a perfect rival. All of that was good. And he did end up, you know, taking a huge punishment of jail time for years and stuff like that. So it seemed like it was just well written all the way around for his character. Him and Ray, I feel like that was like the backbone of the show. So like it had to be something that hit for me, or else I would have thrown this whole show out. And this is the piece that really did well for me, was the Roger Salas and Ray closure.
And of course, those two also performed, I think, the best as actors as well on the show. I mean, granted, they probably also had the most screen time, but I just think both of their performances were just perfect and exactly what you would want from your, you know, actors in these characters. And so Roger, agreed completely, was an amazing villain. Really loved him by the end. It's funny, whoever said it on the beginning of the pod was like, kind of like slouched down a little bit with some characters by the end. I feel like a lot of these characters, I'm just like, once we get into the pink and violet episodes and white, I guess, like that's when a lot of these characters turn around for me personally, because you're right. That scene at the end too, with Roger in the prison with Ray, is just, it was so good. And like, I think that for me, that speech made him feel a little bit more villainous to me, because he was like, you know, I got 20 years, but they're going to let me out in 8. Like, I don't know if I could have saved your wife. Kind of a dick thing to say, obviously. And then he's just like rubbing in his face, like, was this all really worth it? Like, your wife is still dead. I'm only here for 8 years. What did you really get done? So, but that speech, I think, made me, I was just like, dude, this guy is fucking dark and twisted. And it's just everything you could have asked for from the buildup that we had seen from all the previous episodes, to have him capitalize at the very end. It was just perfect, perfect performance.
Yeah, I think for me, meeting him to Violet, and obviously the ending of Violet is fucked up because he lets Lily die, but he's great in Violet. I mean, my first interaction is, you don't know that he is in on it at the start. Mm-hmm. So like he comes into the closet and he goes, yo, and they're like drunk and they're like fucking like for the boys. And he's like, yeah, look at this watch. And then he's laughing that Ray almost gets stuck in the fucking vault and shit. And like they eat sandwiches afterwards. And it was just funny. I was like, oh, this guy's the fucking man.
Yeah,
that was a great
actor. So like he started so high, and then it's kind of like, obviously at the end of Violet, he gets worse because of the decision that he makes. But then we meet him again and he's still cool. Like, it's cool to watch him be the businessman, to like do the deals, like all the quotes that he says. His office is cool. and all of that shit. And then, like you guys said, the ending, he's great in that conversation with Rey. So yeah. I really liked him as a character.
That's probably one of the biggest things with how we watched it that's going to be different for us is that, so you saw Rey right off the bat being boys with Rey.
Like Roger.
Roger. But for us, we didn't know what their connection was. We just knew that Roger had fucked over Rey in some way that was so extreme that Rey was willing to give up everything. And so when we start off with Violet and them being boys, I'm just like, this is crazy. Like, and then you obviously know by the end of the episode, it's something wild is going to happen that is the cause for them to be enemies. And oh my God,
that lives up to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're kind of going through it, and like he's kind of roping them back into these jobs, and he's like, no. So, and I'm like, there's really nothing at that point yet where you're just kind of like, okay, this guy's a villain. It's not until the very, very end when shit hits the fan with the. With the fire that you really kind of understand what his motives were.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia.
So let's move on to a quicker hitter here. RJ, who I'm sure you guys can guess what he was listed as for the heist.
Driver.
Getaway. Getaway driver. Getaway driver, either one. I'll say my piece, then I'll be done, because I thought he was just so useless that if you probably pulled every single scene and line of dialogue he had out of the show, absolutely nothing changes. They just thought that you need a driver for a heist show, and they just put this guy in there, and I didn't get the point at all.
Totally get it. And I mean, the only reason I'm like such a fan of him is because he was just like the dork of the group. Like he was definitely on the spectrum in some way, and just, you know, didn't really have the social skills. So I just thought he was a nice, again, just piece of, you know, maybe not like the wild card like Bob is, but still is just another outlier in the like the mastermind group of like everyone who's so good at heisting. And then you just throw this guy in here who just clearly is not meant to be there. But I get it. I mean, I loved RJ because he was kind of relatable, I guess. Like, that'd be totally me in that situation. I feel like just completely clueless.
And I'll make a point against that in a second, but go ahead, Kyle.
I'm shocked that anyone could dislike RJ, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he does a decent amount for the team. I feel like him getting the code for the truck while he's like riding his bike through the city next to the truck, like, that was a huge moment. They needed that. And he, I mean, I'm assuming it was his idea to sew on the patch of the SLS that like the actual thing says, like, we protect the things worth protecting, but he sewed it on as we steal the things worth stealing. Like, that was funny. Mm-hmm. And the way he died and went out, I guess for me, because I had no idea what was going to happen. Like, he gets shot and I was like, oh my God, like, motherfucker.
I was
pissed and like blown away. And especially because it's Judy who does it. So that, I think, played a role for me liking him. Cause I was like, oh fuck, that felt like, motherfucker, RJ.
My main negative with him was he was probably the reason why they had to blow the water into the tunnels, because that, like, when he runs down there, that's like 1 second of Judy doing what she needs to do, like, because she had to look up and like talk to him for a second, I guess, or something, and then in that time they dropped the explosive or whatever it is, and the water floods, and that is actually what kind of fucks everything in the beginning. Maybe not to a full extent, but it definitely, like, when the safe is filling with water, they're all just like,
she's more to blame.
She's
definitely also more to blame. And I felt so weird that she was the one to shoot RJ. It just didn't feel right to me. Like, it would have been so much better for me if Bob shot RJ.
Well, it's symbiotic. It's symbolic of like the toxicity of her relationship with Bob, and obviously maybe even like how much she actually loves him. Like, she was pretty much, I feel like, RJ's best friend on the team. She was the nicest person to him.
And that's why it surprised me
fucking killed his ass for Bob.
for me, it just would have been better. It doesn't change anything if Bob is the one that shoots her. If anything, it makes more sense to me, because not even 2 seconds ago when Bob was kicking the shit out of him, she was like, oh my God, RJ, like, are you okay? And then RJ kind of gets some balls and starts defending himself, and then she's just going to shoot him. Like,
well, she would always pick Bob over RJ.
Yeah,
that's what, but it's tragic. It makes it tragic. And Bob shooting him is too like easy. Like, yeah, that's in line with Bob. That doesn't elicit any level of emotional response. But, like, Judy, like, it haunts Judy going forward. Like, it's a part of her character.
But again, and so to go back to what we were talking about with like the spoilers, knowing Pink's information going into White, it was just like when I saw him get shot, I was like, okay, like, this is obviously the moment where it makes sense now that why Judy never answered Ray on where's RJ, and she was the cause of that. So that was a less impactful death for me.
Let's go right into Judy, because it just makes sense for what we're talking about here. So what do you think she's listed as?
Chemist, right?
Or was explosives.
Explosive expert. So I thought that Judy was amazing in the first couple episodes. Like yellow, and even what's directly after yellow is orange, and blue is probably all fine for Judy. Everything else, she almost became my least favorite character.
I think she was for me, honestly, by the end.
So, okay, talking about just what her role on the heist is, in hindsight, she did legitimately nothing, right? Like, not added zero value, if anything, just killed the driver.
Carried some cases, and that was
Her blowing
that shit up is like the whole thing.
Yeah, wait, well, she didn't blow it up.
Ava was the one who ended up.
No,
Ava doing that was, I'm a bit confused here. It was her idea. Like, everything about that was her. She created that scenario for that. I mean, Ava was the one who had to pull the trigger, because she wasn't like, I lost her name somehow. Judy, I don't believe it was going to be the one to pull the trigger, but Ava, like, that was kind of like their backstop. But Judy's idea was like the whole reason why the heist could keep going on.
Well, I thought the whole thing was that that Ava doing that was plan B if Judy couldn't do her only job, right?
That's fair, but I feel like we're not getting there at all without Judy.
Okay, that's fine, whatever. They needed that little bit of knowledge. I do fucking hate the idea that RJ, like, walks up to her and grabs her freaking arm. Like, that was, me was almost the worst piece of writing of the whole thing, along with the idea that when she dripped sweat into her own beaker and like caused the explosion. It's like, you're the most unprofessional explosive expert ever. And I was just so annoyed by Judy. And then you add on top of it, like, that was the White part of the show. I already saw how she open-ended left Pink, like how she was about to ditch Stan.
The fact that she was even considering leaving Stan.
Well, that's we'll talk about that too. But like, that, add all that together, and I was just like, this bitch fucking sucks. Like, everything about her sucks, and she's just like, Stan's too good for her.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, there's so many things I hated about Judy by the end, and I was just shocked because she was so cool in the beginning. Even in Green, when she's dating Stan and she's like helping him out, like, she's still cool as shit. Like, all of that. I just, Judy and RJ, they just were not it for me at all. I just didn't enjoy them on the screen.
Yeah, I don't have much to add to that, because I think you nailed it perfectly. Judy was probably the only, if not maybe the only character that I walked away after the first half of these episodes where I actually kind of just actually despised her existence by the end.
Yeah, I was sad.
Maybe not despise her existence, but
like, on her character arc, it just kind of makes me sad.
Totally.
I mean, like, granted, for me, like, the ending of her story is the open-ended question, so that's kind of maybe a bit better in my eyes, but it's just, and I am a slightly sympathetic because of the conversation that she has with Stan in Pink, where she's like, you know, the most I've ever stolen from a bank is like $20,000. Like, she's clearly out of her depth in the scenario. Like, they're not this level of criminal, kind of Ray and Ava are. So, like, that, I guess, gives her a little bit of sympathy for me. But it's the idea of her just fucking with Stan is just, like, not okay with me.
Not at all. So let's talk about that ending, though, because, first of all, just her just obsession with Bob, like, the fact that she gets any hint that he's around, she's about to just risk it all just to go, like, see him. And then after realizing, like, Bob's not going to be in the picture here, and she gets whatever, the bag of money, and looks at Stan, who's just happily eating his tacos and stuff, and she looks down the road. I just didn't see that ending really making that much sense to her. It would have made more sense to me if she just like ran back to the beach and got caught by the FBI going for Bob. Like that's just her toxicity there. But now she's not only toxic with Bob, now she's like willing to ditch both Bob and Stan just to take the money by herself. Like all of it to me was just like, this is unsatisfying. I don't like you. I just get the fuck out of here. Like, and I didn't even have that be like the ending scene. That was like, okay, now I got to go watch her in white, knowing all of this bad information about her. And then I guess it made me look at it and hate her more. Yeah.
Seeing her fuck up in white. And then that just kind of was the cherry on top for that.
Yeah. I think Dave, or at least you're on like this complete same page about her.
Yeah.
And Kyle, your perspective is obviously different because of the order of the events.
And honestly, the more I think about it, I'm of a mind where she didn't leave Stan.
But that's up for debate, right?
Oh, for sure. I think, honestly, the more I think about it, I think I actually like that that's actually what happened to her. Because I think it's realistic, almost, that, like, you know, she has all the money, Stan's not looking, nothing but open road in front of her. A lot of people would think about that, of just, I have all the cash, I can just kind of take it all on my own. It does show that, yeah, I mean, kind of her and Stan is more of like a situational opportunistic thing.
Yeah.
Versus for Stan, it's he actually is in love with her.
Right. That's what bothers me.
Yeah. Well, it bothers you because you like Stan as a guy.
Yeah, I fucking love Stan.
Yeah, no, I respect it. I just, yeah, I mean, having her do that, I think is making more sense to me the more I think about it. Not that I really like it. It just, it feels like it's okay.
And to reiterate, my benefit of the doubt is like, I will never understand being in a relationship that is as toxic as that one. And so I can't for sure, like, be like, I would never have done that, you know, in her shoes, like
her and Stan,
things like that. But, or maybe even less so with like shooting RJ, just things in that relationship that just made her be horrible. I guess it's so hard for me to wrap my mind around. And I guess you're right. Like if you had such a shitty life for however many years it was at that point, and you're presented this opportunity to kind of just a fresh restart, even if there is someone that potentially could be the one for you, that you would maybe still choose like, okay, let me just still just get away from all this. Cause Stan is still somewhat of a reminder of Bob because, you know, the heist and everything. So I kind of get it, I guess.
And for what it's worth, I would have been happier if she just had that moment and then went back to Stan.
Yeah, that's true.
I would have been happier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also is, and when I think about it as well, I mean, it's exactly what Ray says to Bob. He says, here's the money, all of it. Just forget about Judy and Stan. Everyone thinks you're dead. Just stay dead. Take the money. Okay. Clean slate. Fresh start. And she has that thought. My headcanon is going to be because I like to sleep well at night, that she goes back to Stan and they are happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then is it even like true happiness though? Because she always thought, has that thing in the back. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Let's go to Stan.
She chose to stay when she could have left. So it's even stronger.
Let's talk about Stan then, because I actually don't think they had a name for his role, but I just assumed it was like supply runner kind of.
Abbasi labels him as smuggler.
Smuggler. That's exactly what
I was going to say. He was probably, if anything, his label would have been Mario, because he does a little bit of everything.
So something you said earlier, Dave, that I, he really does. Stan is the most well-rounded.
Yeah.
Something you said earlier, though, that makes me hate RJ even more is like that you said that RJ is the relatable one, where I completely think Stan covers all of those bases.
You're right.
It makes RJ even more irrelevant because Stan is actually compelling and he actually has a lot more relevant screen time. Right. And he's like a kind of a glue piece because he brings it, like said earlier, like the Judy and the Bob thing. Yeah, Stan.
I want to be Stan's
Loomis.
Friend.
Loomis is his last name, which, shout out to our elementary school rivals there.
Yeah.
Fuck Loomis.
He's just great. The perfect, I think, encapsulation of Stan as a character. And this was, I laughed out loud. This was so good that he fucking takes a lift back to the hideout after the heist. I love that. I literally laughed out loud when that happened.
So good. Yeah. And he thought it was like not a big deal at first.
He's like, oh, I got tons of pseudonym. Like, I got tons of fake names. Like, I use them. I use it all the time.
Whoever said it off pod, like yesterday, whatever, said that they remind him so much of Huey. I just am like, whenever I'm picturing Stan, I'm literally picturing Huey.
Exactly.
I can't.
But he's way cooler than Huey.
Way. I think we were actually having this conversation too. Like, who would we? I think I'd rather have Huey.
Well, he's way cooler than like season one Huey, but by the end, season three, Huey is pretty crazy.
I love season three Huey.
That's crazy talk. Stan is like He legit smuggles things into jail and like supplies everyone. He's like the cook. He fucking grows mushrooms and bangs. There's no way
Huey bangs a soup, dude.
Oh, okay. If Stan, if there was fucking superheroes in this world, I'm sure Stan's bagging in one of them.
Stan's dropping loads. You left and right.
Yeah, come on, baby. He got the butcher shop. He fucking knows. He loves to cook. How? I'm blown away that Huey. You could pick Huey.
I'll pick
him.
Huey.
So let's talk about this though, Kyle, because your introduction to Huey was green. Like
Huey,
just talk to
him. Says Huey. He literally says it.
It is Huey, bro. Are you kidding me? They might as well be. I literally thought when I saw the first poster, I thought it was Quaid. I thought it was him.
Oh my god!
But talk to me about Stan.
So my introduction to Stan is green, like you said. Loved him from the get. I love that we get that him and Ray are sweet mates. Jesus, cellmates. Ain't nothing sweet about that cell. And I love how big of a character he became. I don't think I ever really noticed a lot of the promotional materials with them on it. So it was fun to see like their, I guess, backstory first. He's just a resourceful ass guy. He's just a nice dude. It was fun. I loved seeing their meet back up outside of jail, like knowing that they broke out together and that Stan pretty much sacrifices himself for Ray to get out, and then they meet back up and they're fucking chatting and they're boys, and like that's what I even wrote down. Like, I'm just so interesting to hear of like what people thought, honestly, having it the reverse of me, because it was sick for me to be like, oh, the reunion, versus you guys being like, okay, they're obviously friends, but like, what's the story behind that?
It's probably the same level of feels where it's like, we know that there's some, you know, they're very good for each other, they're boys and everything, but and then when you see how they became boys, it's just like, oh yeah, like solidify it as like great duo. So it went from like being great to just even greater for the backstory. Yeah. So
the actor himself was great too, because our first scene of Stan is in the Yellow episode. I think he's the first or second person he gets recruited, and you look at him and physically, like, just, you know how it is, like, you think he's like this nerdy little guy that how is he going to get involved in this heist, but his first interaction with the guy at the counter that he's like smuggling something for, you find out right away, okay, this guy, he gets shit done, like he knows what he's doing and he's likable and he's obviously not like a dickhead intimidating person. And yeah, like, I had no idea what to expect for the backstory connection between Ray and Stan. Like, I was almost thinking that when we initially see Stan as the cook, I thought what they were going for was that he was a worker at the prison that was going to eventually help Ray break out. I didn't think that he was like a prisoner as well.
Yeah.
So that was like a cool little twist there of how they actually like did hard time together. That's like a bond you really can't break. So that trust and loyalty is just so blood deep between the two, especially with hindsight of the end of Green, of them breaking out together. It's like, okay, Stan is Ray's like number one guy here besides Ava. Like, this is awesome. Like, that's like the core of this heist group. And it was just so fun watching him, because even at the end, like, he's sitting there eating some freaking tacos while FBI just shot Bob, who was coming to murder the shit out of him 5 feet away. And Judy's thinking about leaving him his ass with millions of dollars. Like, all this is happening and he's got like the biggest smile on his face. So thankfully, he doesn't get to find out about that stuff, at least until off screen after. So like, his ending was sort of happy, because even if they were poor, he was with Judy, his love. Like, it almost felt like he got one of the best endings. But yeah, Stan, dude, come on. He's the best.
He was so good. I thought it was so well done of the, like, it was so perfectly Stan. And it was a great tension builder when he's like rushing Judy, when he's like, come on, like, we got like 10 o'clock, like, we gotta get there. And like, you think it's because he's going to the fucking restaurant to meet Bob because Ray called him or whatever, and it just turns out he wants to get to the fucking food truck before, so the Langua tacos didn't run out. And it's so fucking wholesome and cute.
Yeah,
and I just fucking rock with him for the day I die. He's just a lovable idiot.
Yep.
Yeah, that's really all it was for me too. It's just, oh my god, Stan was just such a treat to watch on screen. Again, you probably just, him and Huey are just so interchangeable. It's fucking ridiculous. But god, he was just,
Stan's way cooler.
His ability to,
we'll bring that back up on the next Patreon episode with the whole Blinktown squad.
Yeah, his ability to be so clueless is just so, it's just so charming.
He was, I mean, so versatile though. He plays the fucking eye doctor when like they need the eye doctor. Like, even at the end when him and Judy are kind of running a little bit of the same thing that that Graham slash Roger and Ray were doing, where like, but I love that he backs out because the guy's gonna fucking put it on a menu and he's like, they're gonna know. And at first I thought it was like he was like trying to say that like the integrity of the wine, like they can't put it on a menu, like it should be enjoyed as like a private collection, but it turns around to be a different thing. But I just I loved everything about him. I have no complaints. The only thing is that he's just such a simp for Judy.
Yeah, he is definitely a huge simp for Judy, but I love that like early on in the episodes, you know, he's really just so timid when it comes to Bob. Like Bob is definitely in his face a lot of the time and he kind of doesn't really bark back really at all. And then just throughout the progression of the episodes, you do see that he is willing to slowly kind of talk back more and more after he sees more and more of how he treats Judy, and that just lights his fire under his ass. And that's the kind of person I can get behind, is if you fuck with one of us, you know, you fuck with me too. So
all right, we're gonna take her home. Two more big characters here we got to talk about, and then we'll pick up anything else that we missed. So I'm gonna take this next one because these two characters are the extremes for me, where I think Ava is the fucking best character of this show. I think she's, in my opinion, in her own tier of like my favorite characters. It's her and a little bit of a gap. So I loved her so freaking much. What do you guys think she was listed as?
Weapons expert.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I mean, you want to say Stan's resourceful? She is resourceful. She knows the ins and outs of this heist world. She's like badass. She's super loyal to Ray, which is amazing. She's attractive and she's just like the best all around character. Everything about her was so good. Like she was such a good character and I was so confident like that she was just all in with Ray and like making and locking down this heist that I didn't even really buy the her being a rat thing for like a second. I was just waiting for
the hell out of it.
Did you really? I did not think there was a shot.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the ordering, but I was the same way as you where I just there wasn't a doubt in my mind. Cuz you heard my guesses beforehand. Ava was never on my radar for being the rat. It was too obvious. She is just so beautiful too.
I believed it, man. For me, it was a roller coaster ride with her.
Yeah.
Because they had me for a little bit thinking that she was totally going to be the rat.
They had us in the first half.
Yeah. And it was great to get to White and then her and Ray kind of be on the same page of like setting off the lights and like completely setting the FBI up in that trap. But again, the one complaint I had there too is that like, I guess they had to set that trap in that way, but so dumb to give them the opportunity to snoop around. Like they can literally get caught because of that trap, because they fucking pull all the feeds out of the fake feed jam or whatever.
That was maybe one of my biggest complaints, too, is just you're going to set up a trap that's going to be in the place of,
you know,
that is like the main control room of the heist, pretty much.
They didn't. I think they had to do it that way because she bought that floor.
Granted, that was exactly what I was going to say, too, is that like. I'm sure that was probably the only space they were working with, but
they couldn't have done it in like a different floor of that building. They just straight up wouldn't have been able to get there. So I think that was like the only option, and they tried their best to hide the control room, which didn't work. They could have done a little bit more there, but
so out of her mind that she is willing to just do anything.
I'm fucking pissed that she's dead though.
Are we talking about Ava? Yeah, Ava's ending. Oh my god, man. I was like so depressed. I thought we were in the clear, like they escaped from Bob's holders, and dude, I loved everything about where she hid guns in her house too. And the one that mattered was like the table leg that was like fake, and she whips out that gun and that's what she uses to shoot him before getting shot herself. But that was like the saddest thing ever, and it made it even more sad because Ray didn't get to like say bye or anything. She was just dead by the time Ray got there.
It hurt, and it's for me watching it, I was like, okay, she's so dead. And then they get unclasped themselves from the duct tape. And I'm like, okay, she's got to live. And then not even like 5 seconds later, she gets a fucking bullet in the chest. I was devastated.
I was holding my breath at that part. I was like, no.
That was definitely the one death that it was maybe felt a little predictable a little bit, but it's still just the impact because of her relationship with Ray. Like we're rooting for Ray. We're rooting for Ava and for her to die and then Ray not have like the happy ending that he did or didn't deserve. Regardless, I think they still should have been together, but
total gut punch.
Oh, it was brutal. And then then he lost two loves of his life. And that's just, how can you put that on one man's? And that made it even more believable that you knew that Ray was going to probably die by the very, very end, because what else at that point did he have to live for? But like, I mean, he had his daughter, but he had the Parkinson's, and you know, now that his love of his life is now dead again, like
Yeah, I would watch a spinoff prequel of Ava. Like, she's just so goddamn great on screen. My top three scenes of this show, I think, were one of the, I think it was orange or blue. I think it was blue, the one with that was centered around the FBI agent, where Ava is getting interviewed before the fake out of the rat situation. She's getting interrogated, I should say, at like the precinct or whatever it was. And she's just so badass. She's like looking at the double mirror and she's just being so confident about how they got her fingerprints on the bullet. Like, that whole thing was acted so well. And it just makes her just so likable, just how confident she is in herself. Like, everything about her, she's such a good sidekick to Ray, and she makes everything possible, really. She's got the connection. She's the one hooks up people up with the fake IDs and like all of this. It's just the baggage, or not the baggage, the background of her that gets implied because of these resourceful scenes is just so cool. Like, she is like up there in the on the black market world. Like, I don't know. She's
got famous.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's so good. I think her death more than anything else is the reason why I'm glad that I watched chronologically, or at the very least why I think watching chronologically helps more at the end than at the beginning, because that's like the last thing I get from her. Like, it felt very fine. Like I don't even know if I would, like, why would I even want to go back and watch White?
You're right.
You know, I literally feel the same way. Like, they're all dead almost. It's kind of like, okay, well, what the fuck? Why do I even give a fuck what went wrong at the heist? Like, I've seen them die now.
Damn.
I've been stuck in my head. She looks so familiar to me. And I think I finally found the actress that she looks like. And I think it's like Penelope Cruz.
Oh, okay.
Like, I was going to say she looks like the original Jean Grey actress.
What's her name?
For a second, I don't know why I was thinking, when you said Jean Grey, of thinking of Mrs. Fantastic, and I was like, Jessica Alba? I don't know why.
That's Invisible Woman.
Oh, Invisible Woman, I'm sorry.
I get
Mrs. Fantastic.
I was like, what?
No, she's Mrs. Fantastic, technically.
I guess, that's her married name. Yeah.
She also kind of looks like...
Penelope Cruz is spot on, though, dude.
Fuck, I'm blanking on who was the Blind Side. I'm so stupid right now.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock. She does
kind of
looks
like her a little bit too, with darker hair.
All right, let's take this home and talk about the last character. So we go from my absolute favorite character to my least favorite character, Nazan Abbasi, the FBI agent. I hope that you guys agree with me, but I fucking hated her so much, to the point where I was just so mad she was in the show, because when you have an FBI character like this in a show, that kind of create some expectations that there has to be some level of triumph from the FBI side. And I hated that, because that meant like there was no situation where the heist gets away perfectly and everything works out. Like, they had to get some sort of win. And she was just such a thorn in the side, where I also just like hated her. And like, all they did was give you background of why you should hate her even more. Like, she was an ex-drug person. She's fighting for custody battles over her kid, who she keeps failing because she's obsessed with work. She sandbags. The only good part of her storyline was Bubba Wheeler, her partner. Like, who was like,
that was his name?
I think so. That's what they
Wheeler.
Yeah, I mean,
never called it. That's so funny.
But like, he was great and he loved her, but he didn't realize how fucked up her life was and all this shit. And like, I almost want to say the best thing about her was how awful her ending was for her as a character. Not like awfully written, like awful as her as a character, because she ends up getting killed by the triplets through poison.
That's
not super explicit, but that's pretty much what's the general consensus of what had happened. So I was kind of happy that she got pretty much nothing good happening to her, except she killed Bob. So whatever.
It's fine. I liked the details of her backstory. I thought it was interesting and they fleshed her out. But yeah, it was just, there was no part of the story like that I actually genuinely liked her at.
Right.
I mean, I felt somewhat sympathetic for her backstory of like why she was the way she was, but you're still so hardcore team that she is just like not fun.
Exactly. That's the best way to say it.
When you introduce a character that is that obsessed and without really like a defining purpose, like she just wanted to crack this case kind of thing. Like, maybe she did know she had some history with Ava. I get it. But like, she was so obsessed at like these little hints that she had no idea how big this was. I mean, she was right the whole fucking time. Those obsessions kind of contradict with her backstory, because again, Luke brought it up, she is so obsessed with her work that is like, she is willing to, you know, bust into a building, like she throws a brick into that fucking building, and like, and she has a kid that she needs to think about having custody with, and she is still willing to be so obsessed with this these heist artists that she's willing to just drop her kid. I mean, obviously she feels the repercussions of it in those moments where they're telling her, like, you know, you lost your kid, or, you know, this is a bad look for the lawyers and everything. And yes, you get that little feeling of doubt with her, but it never changes who she is. Like, she, at the end of the day, she is still so set on our team for really no reason. Like, she just has hunches that, like, they're going to do something big. There was nothing giving it away that, oh, this was the heist of the century. Like, she has to put away her kid to put these people away. Like, nothing gave that away. And it just made her character feel contradicting to me. And
well,
not
said, both
not
you,
crazy.
I'm so happy crazy. That you guys agree with me, because, like,
she sucks. I don't think I agree with that from Dave, though, because they explicitly state in the second AA meeting, the woman who runs it says to her that, like, an issue that people that have recovering addicts have is that they just jump to another addiction, and her second addiction that she jumped to was work.
Not
that's just
it.
Part of her character. That's
her
just
second addiction couldn't have been like being addicted to her child and just like being a good mother.
I mean, fair enough. I'm just saying they explicitly told you that is
right.
Why she was acting the way she was.
You're absolutely right.
She gets killed for it.
Yeah, and that was the best part.
Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. Like, I like
the way that they did that. I'm just trying to think of, like,
it was a good,
I guess,
like,
it's just, that's just a tough spot to be in as a character. Like, thank God Bubba was there.
Yeah,
because I feel like that made the scenes better, and that was at least kind of interesting. Of like, all right, when are they gonna fuck? And then they fuck, and it was like, okay, cool, they fucked. Mm-hmm. That was fun for a little bit there, but I guess it's just difficult to make the likable FBI person in this scenario, because we're so team.
She just got her just desserts in the end because of her obsession of digging into this heist, that it led her also down the path of digging into the triplets too much.
It's funny though, because in real life, like, we would be like, yeah, we're kind of team her, because, like,
yeah,
we
don't want
these fucking rich people to just get away with this shit. But
yeah, but in TV shows we're the opposite.
Yeah, of course we're team.
Even though she was a terrible character in my mind, the closing was just really nice, how it came back to the triplets and everything like that. I think that was good that they didn't brush aside the triplets. It's just like, oh, they're just wealthy bodies, like, they actually are willing to make moves. And I think that was really well done in the end.
They always stayed ahead of her, you know, like, they even got her at the end where they just give her Bob, essentially, where like, she's like, oh my God, I thought they were coming with the money, but it's just Bob. Like, to the end, Ava, and I guess technically Ray, does the last thing. Like, she was always a step ahead of her, which was fun, because it was a little bit of the tension there of, like, when they're at the party and Ava's running and they get the person to slip the drugs into her and she gets caught that way. And it was like, all right, let's get it. Like, that was the little cat and mouse game was kind of fun throughout the season.
Yeah, the Ava versus her was great because Ava kept winning. So that was why it was good.
Even though everyone around her at the, like, when they got Bob and it's like, okay, like, case closed pretty much for the most part, she still was like, no, this isn't over. And that's why I probably enjoyed her death more, because she was never going to get to knowing all that information.
Right. So that pretty much does it for all the characters. Now, what I'm going to suggest is we don't spend too much time doing it, because we covered 95% of this show. Yeah. I'm just going to say the name of the episode in chronological order, give the time frame, and then bring up whatever you guys want. And then we could just take it home with our top three favorite characters.
Cool.
Sound good?
Yep.
All right, cool. So first one, being in chronological order, like I said, Violet, 24 years before. This is mostly about Ray and Roger, like, in their prime. So comments, go.
I have two things. First, this was my introduction, like I've said a million times. The tension was so high throughout. We get multiple heists in this episode. I felt like I had been watching it for an hour and I was only 35 minutes in. I literally checked and I was like, holy fuck, there's still so much of this episode left. And two, I'm pissed that they had to fucking make that racist country club guy's name Kyle. That was, I did not fuck with that. That was my least favorite part of the show.
Aren't Kyles and Pauls, like, generally, like, pretty terrible people in TV shows?
Definitely,
I know
Kyle.
I'll agree with the Paul. I've never heard that before. But
the only reason I said Paul is because I've heard Paul complain about his name being the terrible person in the show all the time. So
I was pissed. She called him Kyle when he's like, says the ghetto shit. She's like, Kyle, no. And I'm like, why the fuck's his name got to be Kyle?
My main comments from this were how they did the CGI for them looking younger was really incredible. Just like seeing Giancarlo just in his younger days, it was just really well done. And I also loved the prepping that we got for this specific heist in this episode, where, like, they are literally timing Ray and, like, putting the necklaces together, because he has 4 minutes between each person that comes in. Like, I just thought that was really an intricate part of the episode that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I don't have anything really to add. I just liked was awesome for me to get the Roger reveal.
Yeah. And the death was obviously just horrible.
Yeah. The Lily was a great like addition, like getting to actually see that and then seeing young Hannah, that full circled everything. So, okay. So moving on to Green, which in my opinion was the best episode of the series. This is 7 years before, set in the prison. Kyle already brought up the shrooms part, which was a 10 out of 10 because off podcast, off the record, I know that experience was pretty damn good. Like just pretty illustrated pretty good of like them just start giggling and dancing. Yeah. Like all of that was awesome.
Not to say that these drugs have ever been done in our presence, but it just reminded me of a time that maybe once I was in a pool and me and Kyle are just fucking dancing in the pool, just vibing to
different Kyle, right?
I'm in love with the goat. Yeah, he's a dick, obviously.
That's different Kyle, not me, Kyle.
Yeah, different Kyle. But obviously that scene was fucking just so funny. Loved it.
My comment will be that the woman guard who catches Stan and he says like, oh, you know, got to take a guy to dinner first, whatever. That is his wife.
No way. Really?
In the butcher shop and her Barbara. Yeah, that is his wife that eventually gets killed. Again? That's his wife. The woman who like catches Stan when they're trying to break out, when he like sacrifices himself, she pushes him up against the wall and she's like, you're out of wherever. And he goes, oh, like, you know, take a guy to dinner first before you rough him up or whatever. Like that is who he marries her. That's who he marries when he gets
out. Wow. I didn't catch that at all.
Oh, yeah, my it's the same God. Character.
That's actually wild.
Yeah.
Nice.
My only comments on this were I loved Stan tanking the beating that he took in the kitchen. That was crazy to watch. Little thing. But one thing I fucking loved was seeing the operation of Judy get the SIM cards into the prison was awesome. When she like grabs his hand and he just takes all the nails off. I was like, yo, that was fucking genius. That's like Now You See Me Too, if you've ever seen that. That was awesome. Okay, moving on. So let's go to Yellow. This is pretty much the start of modern day. This is 6 weeks before me and Dave's first episode that we saw. We kind of said it earlier. This was such a good spot to really start. You get such a good introduction to all these characters as Ray's like introducing everybody.
Because then you also get some action too with their mini heist of the diamonds. At the very end too. So it was just a good combination of just introducing people and as well as just giving you a little taste of what's to come later in the episodes.
And Hannah's opening scene was probably the best opening scene of any of the episodes.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. That was going to be my comment, is that it was so fun as someone who had been watching chronologically to see her grown up version of her was just awesome. And I love the actress. I think her name's Tati Gabriel. She's Gaia from The 100 for all of our long time Bingetown TV fans, the OG show. So it's just great to see her in another role, and she is fucking awesome in this. So,
yeah, my only complaint was, I'll reiterate it, was that at the very end we get the reveal that Ray, well, I don't think they explicitly say that they're father and daughter, but we know right off the bat that Hannah's in on everything. So that kind of just makes me already know that she's going to turn at Roger at some point.
See, for what it's worth, I was pretty in on the idea that Hannah was definitely going to be on Ray's side. I thought, like, when they started
Roger's or Ray's.
Ray's.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm upset that I feel like that scene just made me feel like she was solidifying herself with Ray's group and was going to turn on Roger at some point.
No, I know what you're saying, but I'm saying I thought that before that scene.
Oh, okay.
I was very convinced that it was her, because we didn't even mention this in any way. There was no way to really bring it up. That whole storyline, the mini storyline about Roger's like side guy, the guy that worked for him that Hannah ends up framing for stealing data in this episode to get the promotion to VP. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, I forget his name. It's like Arthur. Yeah, Henry, he was
the white bald guy.
Yeah, he gets killed eventually. Mm-hmm. That thing, like I thought right away, like that, as soon as he gets arrested for having the thing in his bag, I was like, okay, I thought you Hannah did that. Yeah. That's to me convinced me that, I don't know. I don't know how.
No, I think you're right. Definitely. Yeah. Like it was pretty obvious that it wasn't him. And like the only other person it could have really been at that was Hannah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So moving on to episode Orange, which is 3 weeks before. And I think this might be the worst of the first half of the series, because this is so Nazan centric. It's like all about her. And it made sense that it had to be all about her, because you got to think about this. If the Kaleidoscope writers are going to do this where you can't watch in any order, you have to really silo certain things. And this just happened to be the one that I hated the most, because it was all about Nazan.
Yeah. I think even
just before a necessary episode. I thought it was so funny we've seen Nazan at this point while I'm watching, and I just, when fucking Bubba says to her, like, I'm never going to say no to you. Like, I started, I laughed out loud. I just like thought it was such a funny, random, weird line, but then she was kind of into it. So I was like, okay, like whatever. But like, I just thought it was so awkward in the moment that he said that.
Yeah.
Fuck a boss. Definitely.
A bossy.
But the one scene that definitely was funny here for me was when Bubba is listening in on the conversations with Judy, Bob, and Stan. And like Stan runs off and it's just Judy and Bob just like yelling at each other. And then they just go into banging and just it's Bubba in the car just sitting there like and you see the blood, like it's literally a blood stain on the car from them banging.
No. It was because did Bob get cut? It was the hand. It was from his shot
his,
hand.
His stitches split.
But now I thought you were saying because of the bang.
So in Pink, though, Judy's able to identify the car because there's a blood stain in the window, which at the time I thought it was probably related to him just touching the car as he was leaving. But now that I'm kind of thinking about it, I'm pretty sure that blood stain was never washed out from when they were banging like that. That's crazy.
Okay, so moving on to the blue episode, which is 5 days before the heist. This was just the major setup episode where they put everything in place. Like they got the fingerprints, they did the fake eye drop thing to get Stan in there to scan Roger's eyes and stuff like that. Like all of this is about that. And then this is the episode they deal with the extortion guy and have him killed. But I didn't really have anything else to add about this episode.
I really liked this episode. Thought there was a lot of good parts. I was like pissed off that I thought Ray was the one who was calling Roger. And I was
I thought it was too.
I was like, brother, what are we doing, man? We're so close. Why do you want him to be paranoid? And they revealed it was Andrew. I thought that was great. I love the scene in the fucking electronic store with him. And then the spa scene was amazing.
Oh, I forgot about that fun scene.
Yeah, when he's like standing behind him and he has no idea who it is. And he's just like about to be over him, about to like, he was never going to kill him. But that was a little weird, but still fun to watch.
He needed to burn his world down.
Yeah. I love the whole idea of like the Hurricane Sandy inspiration of using the flooding from the hurricane against like the shitty nature of New York's failed infrastructure. That's kind of what I do in my day job. So it was like Leo DiCaprio, like, hey, me pointing at the screen. Like I recognize all of this. I get the motive. I see where they're going with this.
This was also the not that he was like a major character, but this was also the introduction of Roger's son. Who we find out like has dropped out of college and, you know, doesn't see a need to go to school. Yeah. So
also I did write down here, this is the end of this episode is when Judy gives, I mean, this is right before they're leaving kind of for the heist ish. And this is when Judy gives RJ the gun. And I literally wrote down, that's going to be a bad thing that she gave him that gun. I mean, very obvious. It's, you know, the most like basic trope ever, Chekhov's gun. Like if she's going to give him the gun, it's going to mean something. But I was like, fuck, I got such a bad feeling about this.
All right, let's move on to White, which is the actual heist, the climax of the show. We pretty much beat this one to death, but I'm sure there's something that we missed. Open the floor to comments if anyone has anything.
I honestly, when I was watching this at first, I had no clue what the bees were for. I was like, I must have missed when they talked about that in an early episode, but I was like, okay, we're doing the bee thing.
Obviously, the heist itself was really great. Watching the like characters have to adapt to the situations and with all the problems that were happening. But fuck Bob for, you know, being the one to the explosions that Judy was causing like didn't go exactly as planned, but they still could have at least. I mean, they were doing the plan fine. And then it's Bob who, when he leaves, pulls the circular key out of its hole, and that triggers all the alarms. And then that's really when things start to get fucked. Yeah. We obviously needed that for, you know, suspense purposes, but again, really cool just seeing everyone adapt and actually, and especially with Ray too, really seeing his resolve in the middle of about to get $4 billion, he's willing to just lose it all to just fuck Roger. So this was a good like emotional episode for him, and then obviously rip RJ.
Mm-hmm. I'm just curious of where's the tension level at for you guys? We've kind of tiptoed around this question of you guys are watching this last, I'm watching this with more episodes after it. The tension level for me was like through the roof.
It wasn't that high for me, if I'm being honest, now that I'm like kind of thinking back on it, because like I had said earlier, I kind of was under already the assumption that RJ was going to die. I was under the assumption that like Hannah was going to be the rat or like some have some major role in this. So
that's tough. That's ambitious idea. Like, I respect it.
Like, I'm fine with it being if like they were saying like, okay, White is going to be the second to last episode, and then you have to watch Pink last. Like, I think that maybe would have been probably the way to do it.
I think that would have been better.
Like, you get all the backstory and a little bit into the moments after with the heist. You can still enjoy the heist for what it is. And then you get the big, big reveals with the character deaths and the emotional ties there.
Okay. So last comment I'll make on White is just that I can't believe they didn't fucking put bulletproof glass on that truck, but it's whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Have to re-bring up just how savage Bob was for opening his own windpipe. So say that thing. Something we haven't even talked about yet is you get the last second reveal of what Ray puts into Roger's vault, and it's just the stolen necklace from Violet. Now, Alki brought up a comment that I kind of agree with, is how would Nazan have seen that and instantly like known to have him arrested? Was it because of just her connection to how tight she was with the whole case?
She's obsessed with the case.
Okay, that's the only thing that makes sense. Yeah, because
she's obsessed with Ray Vernon.
Yeah, okay.
My only other question, I guess, with White is, so I got the hints, like when, you know, we got the green up, or at least for Pink, we got the Pink Sands, and, you know, there was a lot of color coordination in the episodes, but where was the white coordination here?
It was the end when, like,
he's in the water, like.
Yeah, it was like the ray of light. I don't know.
Ray of light.
Exactly.
Ray of white.
But what I, so.
That's literally what it was.
So, Kyle, you already knew when the FBI agent arrest Roger on the spot, like, you knew why, because it was that necklace that was in there. For me, that was one of the things that we didn't know for watching this last, and I was convinced that it was going to be Carlos's body, the guy that Hannah saves Ray from. I thought it was just going to be like a dead body, and that's how she would have like instantly reacted, like, you're under arrest, how'd that get there? But turns out to be the Violet gem, which is still fine.
Yeah, it was still a cool reference.
Yeah. Okay. Two more here. So now we're going to move along to Red, which is the morning after the heist, after everything kind of fell apart and they're just picking up all the pieces.
This was a good episode, just in the sense that, like, as someone who hadn't watched White yet at that point, I'm just like, what the fuck happened? Like, for this was probably the shortest episode, I think, too, right?
It was
like 35-ish minutes.
Yeah.
The whole 35 minutes, I'm like, this was the episode that made me really, really want to watch White. I'm just like, what the fuck happened that went so wrong? Where is half the people? Where are the fucking bonds? So I think this was just a solid, like, high intensity episode, because they're still
tension.
Yeah, they're still dealing with the this is probably the highest tension moment for us watching. Because exactly, like, we are just still immediately coming off the events of what just happened in the heist, and people are freaking out, there's characters missing, and this was definitely just a solid 35 minutes. Honestly, kind of flew by for me watching this one.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought that the standoff in the hideout was sick. I love him coming down from the fucking Murphy bed and popping them both. That was really fun.
That was sick, yeah.
Yeah, this was where Judy starts to go downhill a little bit. Obviously, she's freaking out. In my head, I know that she's killed RJ, so it's like, I fucked this bitch. Like, she's trying to accuse everyone else of shit, but she literally just killed RJ.
Small reveal of the bonds being just construction paper. I was just like, get me to White, man. I was like, how is this happening, that this is all, like, they were able to steal the bonds and then somehow get them switched out in that time.
When I was watching, when Ava, holy shit, I just like was trying to remember her name while I was saying it, when she pulls in with the truck, there was police sirens, like, in real life, like, outside of my door, and I was like, oh my god, the cops are right around the corner, like, they're gonna get them. And then I paused the show and I was like, oh shit, that's literally outside my window.
And then shout out to Ava's savage moment, because she literally got shot and continued to drive that fucking bus around until she almost died. So good for her.
The only thing I'll bring up, low point for our boy Stan, because him leaving his glasses down in the vault caused his wife and his mom to get murdered, which we didn't talk about, but you know, I don't like to bring up negative things about Stan, so I didn't.
Oh, that leads into a small last comment, is that the fucking face ID using on her dead body was like, oh, that's whack that they can do that now. Like, that's such a great, like, okay.
Think this was actually the episode that ended with the vault. Like,
the arrest of Roger.
It's just like his face, and he's like, oh, I want an attorney.
Yeah. So, okay. Now moving on to our last episode here is Pink, 6 months after, and just like the bittersweet episode, because I really wish I watched it last. Like I just really, really do. I care less about Red watching it before White, but like, I just wish this was what I ended on. We talked about the endings of everybody, but we definitely should spend a little bit of time talking about Ray's murder, because we didn't say who it actually was. And that was the reveal that it was Roger's son. And I didn't know that the first time I watched it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Like, did you get that from looking it up?
I just saw it on the internet and was like, okay.
So I got lucky because it was me, Dave, and Alki, and Dave still had White to watch, meaning he saw Ray get shot. And I said to Dave and Alki, what do you guys think? Like, why was the person that shot Ray like wearing like all that colorful shirt? They both had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. So I said, okay, look at this. And I went to the last 3 minutes of Pink, showed it to them.
We saw the shirt.
We saw the shirt, didn't have an answer, and then proceed to watch White. And then in White, you see the son wearing the shirt. And I was like, there it is. Like, holy shit. That was just a total, like, absolutely awesome. Lucky, right place, right time to catch that, because I didn't know that was him until, again, yesterday.
This was, for me, my favorite episode, I think. I would say pretty confidently by far. I walked away from this episode. I didn't even really need to watch White. I think we've said that already enough, like, after watching Pink. But obviously, I had to watch it. But this was my favorite episode. I fucking loved front to back. This was the episode for me. I really enjoy the ending because it wasn't a happy ending. A lot of the characters that we were introduced to, I don't think actually any of them had happy endings. Now that I think about it, like Abbasi gets killed, Bob's killed, Stan may or may not have the love of his life with him, Judy's being a bitch, whatever, and then Ray gets killed. So to me, it was just like an ending that it wasn't a happy ending. And I always like when shows don't take the generic happy ending route. Like for me, big movie that I really enjoyed because of its ending, Watchmen. Like that didn't end with the villain or the heroes getting what they want in the end and saving the day. It ends with everyone dying in New York City. And I like the twist that none of the criminals get the bonds. And I liked that none of them really, they all die criminals, essentially. Like none of them get a happy ending. And I thought,
you know who did get a happy ending? The triplets, those bitches.
Yeah, Hannah. Unfortunately, yeah, fuck them.
And Hannah.
Yeah,
Hannah.
Good for Hannah for getting her happy ending. She definitely was deserving of that one. But everyone else, I really liked watching. And when Ray got shot at the end, I thought they were going to leave it open-ended. Like, I thought they were going to have the guy pull the gun and then just fade to black and not have the gunshot sound. But they literally have it.
They needed to.
Yeah. At first, when I was watching it, I thought that this is so stupid. And I feel like I do this often where I just admit how dumb I am sometimes. But I thought that the shooter was Stan at first. And they were like meeting up under the tunnel to pass the money. And then after he gets shot, and I was thinking about it, I'm like, they already fucking had the money. I don't know why I fucking thought that he was going to give him the money.
I was kind of thinking the same thing, too, because it was like a taller, skinny-ish white guy. Yeah. You don't really get to see the face, obviously.
Yeah, so. He was Asian. Half Asian.
We don't see his face.
Well, we don't see his eyes in the moment. Yeah. That would be a defining factor for Asians. Yeah. Guys, I'm Asian. It's okay. I'm South Korean.
It's allowed.
My only comment on Pink is, I really loved it. I'm really glad that I watched it last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck off. That's my... I wish, man. That would have been perfect, honestly. Dude. But this is my favorite episode.
We just did a lot there. I think that was a pretty good coverage holistically. I want to end this. Yeah, totally. It was a really good time talking about that. I want to end this by us giving our top three characters and then parting shots and we're out. Do you want me to start with the top three? Because I already kind of have it written down. Do you guys want to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so if it wasn't freaking obvious from this conversation we're having, Ava is in tier one by herself. Then we have a gap into Stan in tier two, and then a gap into whoever I have in the third. It could literally be Ray, Roger, or Bob. Like Bob's there, Ray's there, Solace is there. I don't really care about my third spots. It's for me, Ava and Stan.
Are we going to do the thing where it's like if you say someone, then I should
Ava your favorite too?
Yeah, Ava. You'd probably go Ava, but we'll switch Ray into spot two, then Stan. Okay. You're right. Like Roger and Stan for me probably could have been interchangeable. Like I really liked Roger as a villain.
I think I'll go Stan, Ray, Ava with an honorable mention to Hannah because I really liked Hannah as a character.
So our fourth spots kind of is where they differ a little bit.
Our conversation made me like Bob more.
Bob was amazing for the show. 100%. Yes. He was almost the MVP of the show. He made things like tension happen because he's a motherfucker.
Let's just do top two least favorite characters. So I want to see what the ordering is for everyone, because there's only two that we all hate, and I want to see what the order is.
No, that's not true. I mean, I'm having Nizan as the worst, and then I have RJ as second worst.
I'm honestly going to go Judy number one, and then Abbasi number two.
Okay.
I mean, Abbasi, I feel like, is an obvious answer. I don't think I hate anyone to, like, really name them two, though. So I guess maybe Judy, just because I like Stan so much, and she, her story just went off the rails completely at the end. So fuck her.
I'll say my final piece. You guys say what you want to. I feel like we pretty much are just reiterating ourselves at this point. It was just such a fun watch. I will be telling everybody to watch this, and hopefully they can gain some value from our coverage, just like because of our different perspectives that we're coming at this with. I almost want to say that I'm going to recommend watching it in chronological order. It feels wrong to rob people of this special, unique format that they used, but at least up until the last two, I guess you can watch it in whatever order. I almost want to just say you have to end it with White Pink to enjoy it more. But yeah, like, this was a great show. There were some really good characters, and there were some really shitty characters, in my opinion. I feel like it's just, again, like, I want the whole podcast to watch it, and then they can come back to us with their opinions. I'm sure we'll bring this up on the next Patreon, because this is just a really fun topic to talk about. But yeah, I hope Netflix keeps taking risks like this. Other streaming sites keep taking risks like this, because if this hit in the right way, where the ending was amazing, this could have been like the show of the year already, and we're in January, you know? So it was fun. I'm really happy I watched it, and this was a blast talking about it. And I like it even more after this podcast.
That's always the trend with podcasting.
Yeah.
Netflix is in my fucking doghouse right now, because $18.99, but it is nice that, like, we're getting like one season, some, you know, kind of different shows like this. Obviously, the difference I'm talking about is the structure. I love heist shit, so this was really fun for me. Chronologically, for me, was successful. I thought it was funny, like, talking to people about it, and they were like, oh, that sucks, so you have to watch it chronologically for the podcast or whatever. But I really ended up loving this show. It was a lot of fun. I mean, we've said everything to say. I would agree, though, Luke. I feel like I've already told multiple people to watch the show. So
yeah.
See, I think this is where we'll get a little bit different. I don't think I would go out of my way to recommend this show to anybody. I think for formatting purposes, I would, like, this how we've been hammering home nonstop that because of the formatting that you can watch in any order, I think that alone makes it worth watching. But if, like, I would really have to know what the person likes to be able to recommend this. Like, this wouldn't be a show that I'd like right now. Like, even if I were to talk to a stranger, I don't think I would be like Kaleidoscope. Honestly, I would probably say Alice in Borderland before Kaleidoscope. But still definitely worth the watch just because of the structuring. And it is still a very enjoyable ride. And if you choose not to watch it in chronological order, it gives it way more rewatch value to go back and then watch it in chronological order, which makes it a very fun show. So even if it wasn't maybe the best overall written show, just because of that, those factors, you can, it's easily rewatchable.
And the acting was amazing.
Yeah, the acting was good.
I would say, you know, like 7.5, would recommend to a friend.
Alrighty, guys, that's going to be it from us today. If you like what you heard, be sure to give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere else you get your podcasts from. Also, subscribe to our Patreon. I know we're not the best at putting up content on the Patreon, but I promise it's a new year, new us. We're going to be starting to hammer a lot more Patreon episodes for you guys to listen to, so be sure to check that out. We'll be covering Yellow Jackets, and what was the second one?
The Last of Us that's coming out soon.
Really hyped for both of those shows, honestly. Can't wait. Those are going to be two hard-hitting shows, and hopefully you guys stick with us to listen to those. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.